I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations in New York. It has been 15 years since the terrorist attack on the UN compound at the Canal Hotel in Baghdad, the darkest day in our lives at the United Nations, in the words of the Secretary General at the time, Kofi Annan. The truck bomb killed 22 international and local staff, including the top UN representative in Iraq, Sergio Vieira de Mello. Current and former staff who survived the blast on the 19th of August 2003 have been reflecting on the tragedy, which marked the first time the UN was deliberately targeted on a massive scale. Andrew Clapham, a law professor in Geneva, had only been in Baghdad for a few weeks. He was serving as an academic advisor to Mr. Vieira de Mello and was attending a meeting at the UN compound when the attack occurred. His wife, Mona Rishmawi, the UN envoy's human rights and gender advisor, was also on the premises at that time.
My name is Andrew Clapham. I teach international law in Geneva at the Graduate Institute of International and Development Studies. So I was on a sabbatical from my job here at the Graduate Institute, and I had been invited by Sergio Vieira de Mello to be his academic advisor on international humanitarian law and to be with him and his team in Baghdad in the UN compound. I do remember that the tension was mounting. There had been a bomb in the Jordanian embassy in Baghdad. There was a general sense that things were turning more violent. It was also extremely hot. I do remember that. It's about 50 degrees. And there wasn't much electricity to make any air conditioning work, and water was not always easy to come by. I think some of us will remember a sort of general mounting tension, you know, both climactic and also political at the time. I had had a meeting with a UNICEF colleague to discuss some programs for children in Iraq, and he had invited me very kindly to coffee. I think I had two or three coffees. So I then needed to go to the bathroom. The bathrooms in the UN compound were underground. It was an old hotel, so they were not only underground, but they were all in marble with no windows. And so when the explosion happened, I was extremely fortunate because I was on my own in the bathroom, but there was no flying glass and no collapsing structures because I was, as I say, in this quite, not elaborate, but solid bathroom complex. And I can remember the biggest sort of noise I've ever heard in my life. And then all the lights went out, so I was completely in the dark. And then I remember being sort of trapped a bit, but managing to free myself and finding in the dark some stairs. And then seeing a lot of what I suppose can only be described as walking wounded people, sort of really badly injured, trying to find the daylight. My wife was also working for the UN. She was the human rights and gender advisor to Sergio. So, of course, at that point, my immediate thought was to try and see if she was okay. And I heard her voice fairly early on calling my name. So we found each other quite quickly. And then, of course, there was a lot of chaos as to, first of all, trying to treat the very badly wounded people. And secondly, I remember there was quite a lot of concern that there could be a second bomb, and therefore it was important to get people to a place of safety. My wife was quite badly injured. She was bleeding a lot and needed stitches, so we had a helicopter eventually with the US Army to a US surgery, a sort of field hospital, where I watched her being stitched up. And unfortunately, I had to identify some of the colleagues there who had been taken who had died, and nobody knew who they were. And then I next remember them telling us that Sergio Vieira de Mello had been killed, which, of course, we didn't believe at first. We thought it was just a rumor, but as you know, it was unfortunately true. Yeah, that was all quite intense period, and a lot of people much worse, with much worse injuries than Mona, who, of course, it was horrible for them and very distressing for everybody trying to deal with them. It's obviously tragic that not only the lives were cut short of some very dedicated and talented people, but their families have had their lives destroyed, the people who lived on. Clearly, bombing people is not just the immediate people who die, but as I say, the it's not collateral damage, but it's the families that are left behind, which is so tragic for everybody.